Thank you for listening to an audio production from New Hope Assembly of God, located in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Now enjoy the word from Pastor John Overton.
I'm going to be doing a spoken word this morning. I did this for Fine Arts, and you always have to write about the topic for the year, and the topic this year was finished. I had no idea what I was going to do with this, but everything just fell into place, and God told me what he wanted me to say, so that's the important thing. I will be using cheat sheets this morning, because like a lot of you here, I am feeling the wrath of sleep deprivation, so if I get tongue-tied like I just did, forgive me. This is called waiting on vinegar. Finished. Having been completed or ended. Complete, perfect, accomplished, or ready. Have you ever just stopped and thought about time? About how it continues to go on no matter what you've done? Yeah, it's a mysterious thing. The way that it slows down and stretches out when you're tired. Yet it speeds up when your mind is filled up, when you've got too many tasks but not enough time, because the dog needs a bath but your hands are in a bind, and you've too much to do before the day is done but you've too much to lose, so use every drop of sun, and the busyness of life keeps you up at night, so you stare into the dark too afraid of a dream to embark, but you know that soon enough you'll have to wake from that place just to face another day, and you try, but no matter what you do, you will never possess the power to make the clock stand still. And does it ever end? And then one day, you catch yourself staring in the mirror, saying your name over and over again until you found yourself a complete stranger. As you realize from the wear of time, all of the things that you will never have control over. That you will never have the power to demand all things cease. You see, I have a theory that says that I will never be finished with anything for all of eternity. I may be done with a book, I could end a song, I may be through with a million things, but to be finished, to make something wholly complete or even perfect, I don't believe that is something that I will ever do. You see, finished is a heavy word, full with a massive definiteness. A word so heavy that only an all-powerful God would be able to flip with his tongue and make it land on a line of time stretched throughout eternity, plummeting it on the end of a small bump called humanity. And it would fall at the flip of the last page just as he intended it when he set the stage. You see, I only know of three times when finished ever actually existed. And they were all done by a perfect being. You see, the first, in Genesis, when down to the very last detail, heaven and earth were created, and a perfect place was first established. The second, when Jesus, with his final breath, declared, "It is finished," when the vinegar touched his lips because he was waiting for that very last drip before all things had been accomplished. And the third, one day, when I will sit in heaven and wait, I will join the cries that only he is worthy as the king takes the scroll and sits down upon his throne and pops open the seals one by one. Then I will join in the silence when excitement will seep through his graces and goosebumps will dance in the presence of his majesty as he finally opens the seventh seal. And the land will be instilled back to its proper owner, and the yells of praise will override the hundreds of trumpets playing. And I will sit there in complete awe as I experience finished in action, as the king seals all fate.
Yes. So, graduates, you will not ever be finished in this life. There will always be a next. Something else you need to do. Nothing is ever finished. But when Jesus comes into your life, There is a completeness that he brings since he is the finisher. I love that spoken word, Lizzie, about there's only one finisher. He is the author and finisher of my faith. He completes who I am as an individual. There will never come a day when somebody else will trump what Jesus has already done. It's finished. And the work of on the cross is now available for you and I. Now listen, what qualifies him to be your finisher, your completer, is he is fully experienced. The book of Hebrews says he has been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Which means that you can't go through anything in your life that Jesus has not already been there and he's now going to take you through it. Because he is experienced. He is the finisher. He has experience. And whether it be your deepest concern or your greatest celebration, Jesus is experienced in that because he is the finisher, the completer. And I want to give him praise today that he is the author and the finisher of my faith. Can somebody help me out and give him a praise today? All right, graduates, listen to me. The thing about graduates is, the issue here today is, you've graduated high school or college, whatever the case may be, and you have knowledge, but you lack experience. You lack experience. You've passed the test, but now you are entering into the experience phase of your life. Some of you are glad school is out because you're anxious to experience what's next. To experience whatever's next in your life. And, you're going to experience a lot of things in the next few years. You're going to experience adulthood, all of its freedoms and its drawbacks. All of your firsts are beginning to happen right now. And I remember when Sister O got, we got our first place. And we stood in our first living room. And we got to cook our first meal. There's all kinds of first experiences going to happen in your life. But how many of you know, adults, do y'all realize, y'all know this, it won't be long until you'll discover that even if you own your own business, even if you're self-employed, you still have deadlines, guidelines, taxes galore, and every customer is your boss. There's always something that needs to be finished. And sometime in the future, you graduates, suppose you get married, and you're going to experience your first in marriage, and you're going to have children, and maybe you're going to experience morning sickness. Isn't that something to look forward to? Or your spouse's morning breath. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's all kinds of things that's going to experience in the future. And oh, baby, you're going to experience it all. Yes, you are. If you're a girl, it's stretch marks. If it's a man, you're going to have hair growing out your ears. You've got a lot to look forward to. Oh, come on, shove somebody and say, he's telling you the truth. But how many of you know life is good? Let me see your hand in this room if you know life is good. God is good. All of it's good. But you're entering into, graduates, listen, you're entering into the experience phase of your life. And I want you to learn something. Hear me well. Doesn't matter if you're here today and you believe or not. I want you to know that God created you. You know that. If you don't believe in God, that does not change that truth that he created you. And number two, he has his hand on you, whether you believe or not. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. How many of you know God's hand has been on your life even before you gave your life to him? And thirdly, I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. Okay, now listen, graduates, please. The way God leads you into his plan for your life is a strange way sometimes. Because some of you have asked him, tell me, Lord, what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to do. And many times the heavens are silent because the Lord leads you into the next step of your life through, watch now, emptiness. 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 As you enter the experience phase of your life, you will soon discover that experiences just don't deliver. They don't finish you. They don't complete you. And they always lead to something next. And it leaves you a little lacking in some area of your life. I hope you never forget this. Because when emptiness comes, I want you to be wise enough to recognize what is happening. Because mark what I'm saying. God, in the very near future, if he hasn't already, God in the future will intentionally send emptiness into your life to prove to you this statement. There is a place inside every one of us that only God can fill, that only God can complete and finish. And God sends emptiness into our life. I wish somebody had told me this when I was 18 years old, that when I walked into emptiness, it wasn't that I was such a terrible person. It was God calling out to me. There's only one thing that can fill that place in your life, and it's my spirit, and it's all that I have. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand of praise right there. He is the finisher. So many people have not been taught this, and today I want to arm you with a truth that's going to propel you forward. Because when it comes, we miss it, and we interpret it wrong, and we feel confused, and we wonder what's next, and we run to something else trying to fill that void. But emptiness comes from God many times to lead you to what's next. Powerful thought, okay? So when I feel empty, I turn to God. Emptiness announces that you are tired of where you're at and you've got to go to the next level. And if you've not been taught this, then you will naturally try to fill the emptiness with stuff. The next job, the newer car, the different apartment, the next girlfriend. But nobody has told you that emptiness comes from the Lord sometimes. And he sends emptiness into your life so that you can search for him and you can find the true fulfillment. So in the future, graduates, as you leave high school and as you go to college, or if you leave college and go to the experience phase of your life, I just want to tell you, as an older guy looking back, learning how to trust God and how to serve God with my life, there's going to be times, even if you're saved, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be times that it seems like God is a million miles away. And the reason you feel that way is not because that something's wrong with your faith. It's because God is creating a void in you that you'll seek him and it'll pull you to what he has for you. And you would never go there if that emptiness wouldn't show up. So slap your neighbor a high five and say, thank God for emptiness. Spiritual growth is a series of God laying his hand on you, then pulling away till you feel empty. And then you seek him and he puts his hand on you and he pulls away so you will seek him. And over in my life, I have seen this happen over and over. And this will settle some confusion in your life. How many of you know that God said that he would never leave us nor forsake us? Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Do you realize that God, your Father, when he made a dedication to you, it wasn't just for a weekend. It was for a lifetime. So if you feel like God has forsaken you, your thinking is wrong. He's there. Somebody shout, God is there. He is just creating a void inside of you, letting you know that only he can fill that. David said this, my soul cries out to God. David was saying, as the deer pants after the water, so my soul thirsts after you. David was saying, when I feel empty, when I feel lonely, when I feel like there is nothing in my spirit, it's you pulling me. Graduates, today, I just want you to know, God is calling you through emptiness. Everybody in this room has experienced emptiness in some way. And I think already, if you'll just be honest with you, the word that I've already given you, it's brought relief to your spirit. Because many of you struggle with this. You struggle with an emptiness on the inside. And you think, what's wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me? Why, God? And sometimes you even question the authenticity of God. And I'm telling you today, God intentionally sends that into your soul at times so that you will simply follow after him. All right? Now watch this. Have you ever wondered when the children of Israel wanted a king, an earthly king, and God said, no, I'm your king. But they kept pressing, and God said, okay, here's you a king. Did God cave in? Did God change his mind? No. God knew that if he would give them an earthly king, it wouldn't complete them. It wouldn't finish them. They would still be hungry. They would still have something missing on the inside. And with the earthly king in place, it would create a void that would cause them to come turning back to God, the author and the finisher of their faith. Come on, y'all. That's why, come on. How many of you know, once you experience God, you can't have fun in sin any longer, because it'll leave you empty. It'll leave you vacant. And God is saying, I'm sending that in your life so you'll turn back to me. All right? Now, here's the thing. When we stray from God, when we look to God, but then we turn from him, the experiences that we involve ourselves into will always leave us with leanness in our soul. Everybody say this. Say, soul emptiness equals a God vacuum. I want you to say that again real loud. I want you to say, soul emptiness equals a God vacuum. Listen to this. If y'all believe what I'm preaching, I want you to kind of think with me. Think with me. If you believe what I'm preaching, then guess what? Answer this. Is our culture empty? Is there people outside these walls that are running to and fro trying to fill an emptiness, and it's not happening? Whether it be money, whether it be sex, whether it be drugs, whether it be a new job, another class. How many of you know that the culture is screaming, I'm empty, I'm empty, I'm empty. Let me try to fill it with something. Now listen to this. If you believe what I'm preaching to you, then guess what? I have just proven to you that God Almighty is crying out to this culture, because he is sending emptiness into our culture that we might turn to him. How empty does America have to get before we turn back to him? I'm telling you today, God is calling you. Look at somebody and say, God's calling you personally. In fact, pleading with us to turn from our emptiness to him. All right? So here's the promise. Let me speed up and tell you. Here's the promise. In the last days, our text said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. The translation I read to you says, I will offer my spirit to humanity as a libation. He says, I will offer my spirit, my experience. I'm going to give you my experience, and I'm going to pour it out to you, his character, his love, his anointing. And I'm going to offer it as a libation. I had to look up that word. Didn't know what it meant. But a libation is actually a term used at a bar, where a libation is actually the pouring out of a drink with the intent to experience the result of that drink. It is the intent. It's a libation. It's a pouring out on purpose so that I might experience the result of this pouring out. It's somebody not just... How many of you know you don't just stumble into getting drunk. You intentionally step up to the bar and say, give me whatever. I don't know the language, but and they pour and you drink it in, and you have an intent to get the experience of the drink. Oh, come on, y'all. How many of y'all know, in the same way the Holy Spirit is being poured out right now, the Holy Spirit is being poured out in this church, in this congregation. Right now, the Holy Spirit is being poured out for you to intentionally step up and receive what the Holy Spirit is pouring out, that you might experience the result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. Woo! Listen, I just want you to know, the result is an experience that completes you and fills you. Unlike the negative, unlike the counterfeit that Satan has, which is an outpouring of drink of some kind, I just want you to know that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit completes and finishes, because it comes from the baptizer, the completer, the finisher. If you're in this room and you believe that this church, let's start with this church, from this pulpit to the back row, needs a new, fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I want you to receive it by giving the Lord a hand of praise in this room and say, I receive that, I receive that, I receive receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where it leads to debauchery, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Shout it. Say, filled with the Spirit. Graduates, hear me. God doesn't want you just to be a nurse. He wants you to be a Spirit-filled nurse. God doesn't want you just to be a musician. He wants you to be a Spirit-filled musician. A completed, finished musician. Come on, y'all. He doesn't just want you to be a drummer. He wants you to be a Spirit-filled drummer. He doesn't want you to be just an electrician. He wants you to be a Spirit-filled electrician, a Spirit-filled engineer, a Spirit-filled doctor. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, we cannot tell this generation that they don't need the Holy Spirit, because if they'll just get educated enough, then they'll receive that endowment. How many of you know that there's only one place that can fill that void, one thing that can fill that void in a person's heart, and that is the filling up from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise in this room. Come on. Jesus said that if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Translation, I'm pouring it out. If you're thirsty, come intentionally to drink for the sake of the experience. I'm pouring out, Jesus says to this group of graduates. I'm pouring it out. You know, last night, let me just pick on some people. I was so impressed with Brittany Rogers last night. That girl, I just looked at our graduates Friday night at Hilldale and seen Bridget Patterson and Carrie and Liz and, I started naming names. I hope I'm going to miss some, I know. Then last night at Oaktaha, I saw these graduates, so impressed by all of them. And you know what? If there's one thing I could give you as your pastor, I would say, get full of the Spirit. I'm not trying to make a preacher out of you, but I promise you that if you'll be full of the Spirit of God, God's life will be in you. And you'll accomplish more than you could ever do on your own. You could accomplish more, you'll go further than you ever could on your own. Come on, y'all, help me out, parents. If there's anything that I could give you on this graduation Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, is an infilling of the Holy Spirit. You look at somebody and say, you need this. And I know who I'm preaching to. I know that there's been tons of confusion about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of arguing over it. How about you? If God said it's ours, let's receive it on Pentecost Sunday. I need finished, completed. There's a void in our hearts without Him. Listen. There is an experience called being Spirit-filled, and it's for the purpose of sending you out. Doesn't it make sense that college graduates, the one thing they need more than anything else is to be sent out in the Spirit? I just want you to know that God is calling you. Those nights when you thought, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my life? God, would you tell me something? And because of the multitude of opportunity, but the lack of direction, it creates an emptiness inside of you. Maybe there's been dysfunction in your family, graduates. Maybe there's been something going on in your own personal life. Maybe you've been trying different experiences. And I just want you to know, as your pastor, I love you enough to tell you that all those things create voids in our heart that only God can fill. He loves you. Settle it in your mind. Slap somebody a high five and say, God loves you. And that settles it. All right? Quit letting the devil make you feel like you are not in the family of God. You belong to God. You belong to Him. If you believe that, say amen. Now let Him lead your life. And when you feel empty, it's not that He has left you. It's that He is calling you. My goodness, get that. Now, watch this. Have you ever noticed that you are shaped by your experiences? If you've had a bad experience in anything, then you shun that. And if you've had a good experience in anything, you run to that. One time, Sister O and I went to a well-known restaurant, a chain, national chain restaurant. It involved pasta and those kind of things, and we were sitting down to eat. And I was kind of mixing up my food, the vegetables and the pasta and whatever else I had on the plate. And suddenly I saw that there was a big June bug in my plate. He was upside down kicking pasta. He looked up at me and said, "Don't eat right now." No, he didn't. Bad experience. Bad taste in my mouth, even though I didn't eat the bug. Bad experience. Nikki and I have never been back to that place. National chain. Very successful. Great food. But because of my bad experience, it shaped me forever. Good experience will shape you forever. Some of you have had all kinds of experiences in church, both negative and positive. And some of you have shaped your future by negativity that you've experienced when it comes to the things of God. But I want you to hear this preacher today. I want you to know that the filling up of the Holy Spirit is not something my denomination requires me to talk about. I speak today freely on my own accord about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it is the real deal. It's not churchy. It's not religious. It comes from the Heavenly Father, and it's for everybody in this room. I'm more than just saved. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And you need this experience. Of all your experiences, don't leave this one on the table. Pick it up and run with the Holy Spirit. Preaching like a madman this morning. But I'm tired of dishes with bugs in it. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of coming to church. Oh, well, I better not go there. And have what God said was ours tainted by some mistake that some theologian said. I'm telling you, just because there's a fake only proves that there's a real. And I'm not trying to make you weird or anything else or handle snakes. I'm trying to tell you from my own experience and 2,000 years of church history and the proof over and over that Spirit-filled people have actually changed nations and raised medical centers and changed cultures. Graduates, don't you leave this area without being full of the Holy Spirit in your life. Get it. The experience is needed in your life. Somebody help me say amen right there. I come to tell you the truth today, then that is that the experience that you need is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And today I call for a whole new generation of young people that will go further than I've ever gone. I'm just going to preach right here. My generation kind of sat on its thumbs a little bit and said, you know, well, we got to please the people and be seeker sensitive. People are sick of seeker sensitive. They're looking for something that is real, that will fill the void of their life. And today on Pentecost Sunday, we have the answer, and that is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this church if you believe I'm telling you the truth. Now, I'm going to hurry up and close here, but I just want to say this real quickly. I was raised in this thing. And you know, I've seen something happen in the culture. And that is, we've almost got to the place, a lot of people, and it's my generation's fault. But we've almost got to the place where we mock the moving of the Spirit of God. But let me announce to you that the only reason that makes church worth coming to is certainly not the preacher, not the music, not the facility. The only reason church is worth coming to is because you can leave here and say, I felt like I've been with God today. And I can come in here with my sin. I can come in here with all my sin, sit down, and the Word of God will go to work on me. And I'll leave here saying, man, that hurt, but felt so good. Because the Lord is, God is the Lord over your heart. And He's calling you through your emptiness to be full of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me close with this. Three statements, and I'll close. I need the praise team to come. Pastoring was not my first choice of career. And again, I'm not asking you to become a preacher. But I know that there was a point in my life when I said, God, if this is real, I'm going to open myself up to you. I'm going to intentionally step up to the bar where you are pouring out your spirit. And I'm going to experience what you have for me. And it is through that experience that this began to happen. That door closed. This door opened. This door changed. God moved this group of people to the side. Pulled this group of people into my life. And the result is He let me know that my life was to be given to the church. I'm not a career pastor. I do this for free. Y'all just pay me to take care of all the other stuff. Tonight I wonder, this morning I wonder. I'm just wondering if you're in this room. I wonder if you found that place where you say, I want to serve my life in this capacity. And as you enter the experience phase of your life, let me give you three statements about the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit will take you further than you could ever go by yourself. Number two, the Holy Spirit will cause you to do more than you could ever do on your own. And statement number three, the Holy Spirit will cause you to say what you never thought you'd be able to say, because He's the finisher, the completer. The church said, amen. Somebody say, how? How do I receive the Holy Spirit? Number one, open your heart like a vessel. Open your heart. You're saying, God, whatever you have for me, I know you love me. I know you've got a plan for me. So here I am. And you open yourself up to Him. Okay? Number two, open your mouth. Nobody drinks with their mouth closed. Open your mouth. The praise team is going to sing and we're going to open our mouth in praise. And then thirdly, trust that He will pour through the vessel. Somebody help me say amen today. Do y'all love the Lord today? Everybody stand to your feet all across this building. If you are a graduate of any...
This has been an audio production from New Hope Assembly of God, located in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Visit us at www.newhopemuskogee.com.